Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague and co-author at Mormonism Research Ministry, Eric Johnson. We are going through our new edition of Answering Mormons Question that is being released this week, we hope. And we're just giving you a little bit of a teaser as to what is in this new book that we think will be a big help in discussing these very important topics with our LDS friends and loved ones. We're looking at Chapter 9 today. Chapter 9 says, why not just promote what you believe and not judge our faith?
We've never heard that question before, Bill.
Oh my goodness, I hear this question all the time. And usually it's also, there's an addition to this that goes something along the lines, well, why don't you criticize this group and that group and this group and that group? And oftentimes I'll write back and said, well, if I told you I did, would that mean that your first question is invalid? As if somehow if they thought I was critical of other groups, and I am, it's just that we don't target a lot of other groups at Mormonism Research Ministry because we feel called to focus on Mormonism.
Well, I was at Manti a couple of years ago and somebody gave me that and they said, well, what do you do with the Jehovah's Witnesses? Well, it just so happened that week, Rob Savolka and I had spent 3 days up in Ogden at a Jehovah's Witness convention holding up signs and trying to witness to people. And so I said, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do witness to Jehovah's Witnesses. And here I am in Manti. This is Utah. And so I'm witnessing to Mormons as well.
And I've had people say, well, I bet you're too scared to witness to Muslims. Well, as a matter of fact, no, I have actually been in front of a Muslim mosque and talked to Muslims about their faith as well. So that's not really the case. So because we deal with some of these other religions, does that make what we do with Mormonism okay with you? Well, of course not. The fact is, the reason they're asking this question is because they don't want us to ask probing questions about what they believe, because many Latter-day Saints just don't want to be bothered by this. They want to be content in what they believe, and they know that our questions are going to make them not so content.
I love our first response question. At the beginning of each of the chapters, we have two or three different questions that you can ask in response to the question that was just asked. When you get asked this question, return with this. If judging is always wrong, why are you judging me? This is what Greg Kokel from the book Tactics calls an argument by suicide. You are telling somebody they shouldn't judge by that very admission. You are judging them for being a judger.
I get emails so often from well-meaning Latter-day Saints saying that it's unchristian for you to judge. You should not do this. And I say, and what did you just do? You just made a judgment call against what you think I'm doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, why is it okay for a Latter-day Saint to write me and tell me I shouldn't judge when they had to make a judgment call in order to tell me that in the first place? So what we're trying to do, folks, is to get them to think through this question and the motive behind the question by asking this response question.
We have a quote at the beginning of each of our chapters and usually try to use a general authority. Well, we used Wilford Woodruff, former president, and this is what he said. I am willing to exchange all the errors and false notions I have for one truth and should consider that I had made a good bargain. He's exactly right.
If he's really honest, and I would think that most Latter-day Saints try to be as honest as they can. I think sometimes they're inconsistent because they've not thought their positions through well enough. And what we're trying to do is help them think through these questions. We're actually trying to help them be consistent.
Our friend Peter Barnes used to have a little quote that he said, error will always run from truth, but truth will never run from error. And if you're a Latter-day Saint out there, I would think that you would want people to bring the very best arguments against your religion up to you so that you might be able to consider those answers and come up with a good answer, because if Mormonism is true, then there has to be a good response to it, and you're going to get better at it instead of getting angry at the messengers. Deal with the message itself.
One of the response questions that we have is, shouldn't opinions about truth be open for discussion? Now, why do we ask that as a response question? Because if you were to ask a Latter-day Saint, shouldn't opinions about truth be open for discussion? How do you think they're going to answer? I would think most of them would know it would be better for them to not say no. No, it's not good. Opinions, you know, they shouldn't be discussed. They shouldn't be discussed. A person saying no tends to what? Tell you, one, that they're anti-intellectual.
They're closed-minded.
They're closed-minded. And really, they're irrational. It's like asking the question, well, if there was the slightest chance that you could be wrong, wouldn't you want to know? Well, rational people, you would think, would say, well, of course I would want to know, because I'm an honest person and I only want to believe that which is true. I've had many Latter-day Saints, however, say no. And it goes back to what I said earlier. They're much more content in believing the lie, and they certainly don't want me to disrupt their life by injecting a little bit of truth there that might make them feel uncomfortable.
This summary that we have, we always try to have a summary that explains a little bit of what this chapter is about. Here's what we say. Sadly, in this 21st century culture, many people consider it a gross violation of common decency for someone to say that truth is exclusive and that all other views are wrong. Many Mormons have adopted the same attitude, especially when confronted by Christians who judge, quote-unquote, judge LDS teachings. Yet the belief that Joseph Smith is a true prophet of God, that the Book of Mormon is historical scripture, and that the LDS Church alone has complete priesthood authority are also exclusive truth claims that presume to judge other views as wrong.
Exactly.
People reveal their inconsistency when they insist that, quote, judging is wrong, end quote, because such a statement is itself a judgment call. Because truth matters, ideas ought to be considered fair game as long as the person holding a different viewpoint is not personally attacked. This is not a manual on how to attack the Latter-day Saint and win every argument. That's certainly not the aspect we're going after. In our introduction, we go over 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about gentleness and respect, how we're certainly wanting to be a good messenger, and we want to do this speaking the truth in love, as Ephesians 4:15 says. But we have to understand, or the Mormon needs to understand, that when he is giving this question, as we've talked about before, they're inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're helping them be a little bit more consistent in their own reasoning and wanting to walk with them through these landmines of inconsistency so that they see some problems here.
So, Bill, the common verse we're going to get right here, mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, lest ye be judged. We get that a lot. How are you going to answer that? That sounds like a hard question to answer, or a hard verse to deal with.
It's really not all that difficult. In fact, what we say in that next paragraph, I'll just read it. How's that? Is making a judgment always wrong? If not, is it wrong to critique what Christians believe to be doctrinal error? A common proof text cited by Mormons who insist that their church is above criticism is Matthew 7:1. This verse, which is found in Matthew 7:2 in the Joseph Smith translation, or the Inspired Version as it's called, it reads this way. Judge not unrighteously that you be not judged, but judge righteous judgment. So the question that we hear is, well, why are you judging me? It's too often asked. This is what we say. It's too often asked by those who believe that religious criticism is shameful and unchristian. But is that what this verse teaches? No, it doesn't teach that at all. If you look at the context of that passage, it's talking about hypocritical judgment. And making a judgment call on someone else then when you're guilty of doing the same.
You got the speck and the beam and, you know, that whole thing. The hypocrisy of you telling somebody else something not to do when you're doing it yourself.
Jesus was always calling people into account. He was always asking penetrating questions that would cause them to think through the position that they were holding. There's nothing wrong with that. The Apostle Paul did that as well. When you look at Paul, for instance, on Mars Hill, what's he doing? He's asking questions. He's finding out where these people are coming from. And then he's offering a rebuttal to get them to think about where they are. He does this in the epistles, too. When he writes to the Galatians, he's asking them questions to think about. He's many times not being accusatory, but merely allowing them to state their position. That's what we want to do. We want them to state their position, but to just assume that it's un-Christian or unbiblical to challenge someone's religious faith, that you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're going to find your culture telling you that, but you're not going to find that in the Bible. The Bible doesn't support that.
We quote Christian apologist Rabbi Zacharias, and this is what he said. If truth does not exclude, then no assertion of a truth claim is being made. It's just an opinion that is being stated. Anytime you make a truth claim, you mean something contrary to it is false. Truth excludes its opposite. Isn't the Mormon, when he is telling us Mormonism is true, by definition telling us that Christianity, the brand of Christianity we are, is not true? Because they may say you're a Christian too, but then you say, oh, well, wait a minute, am I going to the celestial kingdom with you? Well, no, because you haven't been baptized in the Mormon church. And so the assumption is, and they know that, you have to call them sometimes on it, that they can say you're a Christian just like we are, but no, we have differences. And that's what this book is about, to show what these differences are in an intelligent manner.
Well, consider every time a Mormon tells us that their church is the only true church on earth. And we've had many Mormons say that. They write me all the time, and they will make sure that I understand that, well, we're right. Our church is the only true church. Well, a Mormon who says that his church is the only true church, what is he implying? Well, if you don't belong to his church, what does that say about your church? It can't be true, because only one is true, and that's their church. So yours is obviously what? Your church is false. That's a judgment call. And they all we need to do is just kindly remind them of that. And usually I'll say, look, it doesn't offend me that you say that your church is the only true church. It doesn't offend me that you're thinking my church is wrong. Just allow me a chance to rebut that statement.
We've been talking about Answering Mormons Questions, subtitled Ready Responses for Inquiring Latter-day Saints. This is the updated and expanded version, and it is being sold by Kriegel Publishers, and it's available on our website if people want to get it.
If they want to get it, go to the bookstore and they can order it online. We'd be glad to get that out to you. And we're going to continue discussing this tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered how to answer questions you were asked by Latter-day Saints? Well, a new resource by Kriegel Publishers and written by MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson is exactly what you need. Answering Mormons Questions is a 300-page book covering 36 common questions that Mormons often pose, such as, how do you justify the doctrine of the Trinity? Well, now you will have the ability to respond to them with sound biblical reasoning. The book includes a glossary of common LDS terms and has study questions at the end of each chapter. Help us make this book available to Mormon readers. For your gift of $50, we will send you an autographed copy and then donate another copy to a Utah public library. It's simple. Just go to the MRM website at www.mrm.org and visit the bookstore where you can order it online. Again, that's mrm.org. Answering Mormons Questions. It's a resource every Christian needs.